You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, and thank you for joining me, as you always are, usually now on Wednesdays, 11 Pacific time and all over the world where you're at. Thank you so much for joining me, everybody. I've got a great show for you today. And let me just say, if you're sort of tired of feeling vulnerable in an era of rising anxiety about your personal security and safety, and you want to find out more about how to protect yourself and your loved ones, you know, whether it's running errands, keeping safe in your home, traveling, or in any kind of environment, we're going to be talking about how to manage your concerns and take control of possible threatening situations today. This is so, so needed right now in our society. My gosh, we're constantly waking up to the news locally, nationally, internationally, wars. We all have these fears and these, feeling of being out of control. But my amazing guest today is going to help us clear a lot of that up. His name is Tim Beard, and he'll be cutting through the fear with practical and empowering messages. He'll be talking about his 3-volume book series. It's called Look Twice, and these books have helped countless numbers of people, not only with how to manage their fears of vulnerability, but that's also a part of how to protecting yourself and loved ones, friends, family, and neighborhood, and whoever. So let's bring them on right now.
Hi, Michelle.
Hey, Tim. Thanks for being here on the couch.
Thanks so much for the opportunity.
Oh, it's great to have you. Boy, these books really taught me a lot, I'll tell you. Oh, my gosh. Look Twice. Here you go, guys. Look Twice. You got to look thrice because he has a 3-book series, and that'll help you all out really a lot. Tim, I want to tell viewers and listeners a little bit more about you. So I'm going to go ahead and share a little bit more about your background. And you've had over 3 decades of experience in the public and private sectors. You were recruited by the CIA into Directorate of Operations, conducting and managing extremely sensitive clandestine operations around the globe for the U.S. government. You did U.S. Postings as a citizen here in multiple countries in Asia, Middle East. Also, you served on active duty in the U.S. Marine Corps as an infantry officer and captain. Thank you for your service. Love it.
My pleasure.
And after retiring from the CIA, by the way, you founded Global Intelligence and Risk Mitigation Consulting Company, which assists clients in achieving strategic and tactical objectives in high-pressure environments under complex circumstances. And of course, you have a master's degree. You went to Harvard. Of course you did. In international policy and practice. But today, we're focusing on your books and your wise guidance to folks out there, listeners and viewers. Don't go anywhere because we're going to be sharing a lot of tips, helpful advice, and you're going to get a lot out of today's show. Okay. So let's, enough of me. Let's jump into your books. Let's jump into everybody about the series and what they're individually designed to help people with in our lives.
Sure. So basically the thing I wanted to do is I wanted to distill the lessons that I learned over the past 3 decades of my career. And I want to speak to, because I'm trying to help people, I want to speak to mom and pop America, just regular everyday folks. And the first thing I want to start off with, because I've had folks on a lot of interviews I've had, some have tried to pull me to the left or the right and make it a political issue.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a political issue. Security is it's not a left or right issue. It's I want to go home and have dinner with my loved ones issue. It's a human issue. So I'm trying to, when I was out alone doing my thing at night, no one's coming to help me.
Right.
That's a lot closer to what mom and pop America, who get up every morning and who want to go off and do their job and then come home and spend time with their loved ones. That's a lot closer to their reality than, say, for example, when there's a platoon of SEALs coming to rescue them. Most people, great folks, but most people don't have that in their day-to-day life.
No.
So I've captured this in what I call the look twice mindset. In like the first 30 pages of volume 1, roughly, I talk about what this mindset is and then I apply it across 15 chapters. Now it's 642 pages. People say, why so long? Because there's a lot of material to cover about things in your life. Use what works for you. And if it doesn't work for you, don't worry about it. Just leave it alone. All three volumes were basically one huge book. And the publisher said, no one prints books that big. We'll break it in thirds.
Right.
Go together and cover a whole range of stuff, including tech, fraud prevention, range of stuff.
Beautiful. I understand. Thank you for that. In volume two, of course, Look Twice. It's your guide to starting safe with tech, travel, right, and natural disasters, which is nobody really covers these things. Mm-hmm. And of course, book number three, your guide to staying safe. Let's see what else we've got. What's share more about what book three is about.
Book three is a little bit more game on. That's the more rigorous book, I would say.
Oh, okay.
Because I start off with escaping civil unrest.
Oh, boy.
Because especially if somebody, whether here in the United States or overseas, you may find yourself in a difficult environment that comes on very quickly and you want to get you and your loved ones out of harm's way.
Right.
I talk about how to plan for something like that in advance. Say you're in a developing country that has a fragile government. You're on travel. You're enjoying taking in the sights someplace. And very quickly, an event happens and it starts to degrade. You're on your own.
Yes.
And so that's where this arming people with this knowledge can help them. I then go from there into self-defense, because even if you do everything right all the time, sometimes you may get cornered. So I talk about some things you should think about there. I talk about medical, because what you bring with you, medical knowledge-wise, is what you got. If somebody's bleeding out, first responders are fantastic, but it may take a little while to get there.
Right.
And then I have, and so you got to do what you got to do to save yourself or your buddy. We call it self-aid and buddy aid.
Yep.
To help somebody out. And then I have a robust section on overseas travel and living, whether, and those are very different experiences, as you know, Dr.
Sure.
Michelle.
Oh, yeah.
If you live overseas, very different than traveling there. Very different experience. I cover a little bit on both.
That's wonderful. So you've expanded it and most helpful. And it's not necessarily repetitious in all three volumes, folks. You're going to learn new things that are, you're going, oh my gosh, I never thought of that. So let's jump right into it. And by the way, I don't want you to go anywhere because we're going to find out also about his tips. Stay with us. Tim will be giving us his top five tips for protecting yourself and your family in a little while. So don't go anywhere, guys. Okay. In your descriptions, Tim, of the Look Twice mindset, all right, mm-hmm. can you talk about ways in which we can make ourselves a hard target? I love the language you use in this.
Yeah, and I tried hard when I wrote these books, I didn't want to use a lot of technical verbiage. I want these to be friendly books where you can read these and say, you know what, I can do this, because that's a powerful message which I want to share with your audience. You can do this.
Yep.
It's not hard.
Yep.
Security is not hard. It's about doing the fundamentals, the right stuff, the basics every single time. You just got to keep your head in the game. So that's a really important piece for folks to think about. But there are some terms like soft and hard target. What's a soft target? What's a hard target? Right. Soft target's a victim waiting to happen. That's somebody. And it depends on who you are.
Right.
If you're somebody who's a wealthy, famous person like a Kim Kardashian or Beyonce, somebody like that, they have a different security profile where they're probably going to have what we call close-in security, executive protection. People are physically protecting them. They can't go everywhere. They got to be controlled.
Right.
That's kind of a prison of their own making because of their success.
True.
For most folks, they don't have those concerns because they're not recognizable when they walk down the street. But what you want to do is you want to not be a soft target. You want to close that aperture just a little bit to where you're comfortable, to where you're doing the right things to make you less vulnerable to what I call an adversary. That's somebody or a potential adversary, somebody who doesn't have your best interests at heart.
Right.
They want to do something to you or take something from you because of their desires.
Yes.
We don't want that. No, we're in conflict with that, and we're going to avoid that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, you mentioned the Kardashians. It's so funny because I was thinking, you know, kind of about wording the questions. Like I had told you a little earlier before we went live, you know, we're up here in the mountains. We're up here. Mm-hmm. We're pretty safe. We're the tree people. But down in the flatlands is really a stone's throw from where the Kardashians live. Mm-hmm. And this exclusive area and shopping center where recently, most recently, they've had several reports of armed gunmen, mostly on the mm-hmm. cameras, completely masked up, holding automatic weapons to the shoppers here because it's very exclusive. And they spot people and they identify and they follow and they're giving up their, you know, male purses, man purses, female right. purses.
Special, as some would say.
Used to the Bentleys, yeah. you know, whatever it is. And it's really scary because we're all hearing on our local news outlets and national, of course, but every time we turn around, there's someone being burglarized in their home or mm-hmm. assaulted or, you know, and of course, we won't get into the whole political thing about the homeless situation, but it's right. scary. It's very scary a lot of times. So let's talk about maybe better managing our personal safety. How can we better manage that?
Yeah, let's jump into a few ideas because I want folks who are listening to this to have some takeaways where they're like, I can start doing that right now.
Right.
So we talked about protecting yourself and your family and some of the tips on that. These go into the look twice mindset.
Yep.
First thing I want folks to do, you got to be aware. You have senses. So you can see, you can smell, you can taste, you can hear. You got to use your senses when you're out there. You see this all the time. And, you know, I'm not trying to offend anyone when I say these things, but you see people who they got their face buried in the phone. Something you're going to see about me as right. we talk here, Michelle, is I deal with facts that are right in front of me. I'm yes. not trying to sugarcoat stuff because, as I'll say, bad news yeah. doesn't get better with age. It's not fine wine or cheese. So you got to deal with what's in front of you right now because you got right. one life.
Yeah.
So first thing, I want folks to be aware and in the moment. If you want to use your phone, don't use your phone when you're walking down the street exposed. Exposed yes. to what? Exposed yes. to a potential adversary. Again, as we yes. said, somebody who has not your best interest in mind. When you yes. see those folks who are masked up carrying some type of weaponry, perhaps automatic weapons, they're already violating the law. They've already oh. demonstrated oh. intent that they're not going to follow the rules, and the likelihood of them causing you harm is significant. I'll say it's probable. So you want to be aware when you're walking down the street and exposed. Put your phone away. Don't wear headphones. Don't wear earbuds. Right. You're like, but I want to use my phone. No problem at all. Drop into a coffee shop where you're physically separated from somebody right. who is a potential adversary. They would have to follow you in the shop. That's a little bit of a leap. They might.
Yes, sure.
There's going to be people right. there. Go to a place where there are people where you can call for help, where you're physically separated. I'll term that a hard point. Yes. You can have a hard point where you're behind a concrete oh. wall and there's barbed wire and things like that. That's an extreme. But a grocery store, a big grocery store with a lot of people in it, if you go inside there, you put your back to the wall, so you only have to pay attention to a 180-degree view, left to right. No one's getting behind you. You can use your phone. You can right. put your headphones on. You can use your earbuds.
Yes.
But don't do it while you're on the street. That's akin to if you're playing hockey or football or a serious yes. contact sport,
right.
and you have your phone and your face is buried in your phone, you got your headphones on, mm-hmm. how would that work out? Stanley Cup's going on right now, the playoffs. Those guys hit hard. If you're on yeah. the street,
yes.
there was just there was somebody who was recently killed. His phone was taken when he was using it on the street, and he tried yep. to get his phone back, and he was shot. That was on the East Coast. Oh, very unfortunate situation. Put your phone away until you're in a hard point, a safer place. Yes. That's the first thing.
Yes.
Another one I want to cover. Mm-hmm. I'm going to use a concept called baseline.
Okay.
Baseline is knowing what is normal and what's not around places where you spend your time, around your home, around where you work, around where you choose to worship. around shopping malls that you shop at, strip malls you shop at.
Yes.
Where you play. If you go to a park, you know, West Coast, if you're in MacArthur Park, you know, you need to know what the baseline is.
Oh, yeah.
It can be a tough place there. It, what is the baseline? What's normal and what's not? When something starts to deviate from your baseline, it warrants further investigation. If it's, and you're going to hear this theme throughout our whole talk today, if it's too weird, it's time to go right now.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yep.
Go someplace, and that's what we call getting off the X. Another little technical term. What's the X?
Yeah.
The X is the, for lack of a better term, it's the ambush site. If you ever see a war movie, it's where that ambush happens.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
An adversary has probably prepared the ground, meaning they chose a site where there's less street lighting, there's no CCTV security cameras, where there are fewer people, there's not a lot of place people who can see you, where they can do their evil deed somewhat hidden under cover of darkness away from people. Mm-hmm. It maybe is their turf. They have an escape route. That's where they want to commit their crime. We call that the X. That's where it's going to go down.
Right.
When you're on the X, what do you want to do? You want to get away if at all possible. Run away. There's no shame in running away. Even if you're, I'm 6'5".
Yeah.
You can tell that from seeing me sit here, but I'm a 6'5" guy.
Right.
Even if you're a big, tough guy,
yeah,
there's no shame in running so you can have dinner with your loved ones.
Right.
Some people are like, I'm going to fight back.
Right.
So, but you need to have that baseline around those areas.
Right.
Because when something starts to get weird, you look over and you're being aware now that you've heard this conversation and you say, that's strange. I come out in the morning and there's two guys sitting just down the street. They're not normally there and they're really paying a lot of attention to me. They're staring at me and I got a flat tire.
Yep.
1 + 1 might equal 2 in that situation.
Right.
I'm going to go back inside, call the travel club or my insurance company because I pay for them to come out and change my tire. And they can, I'll watch those two guys through my window while I drink a cup of coffee and the guy changes my tire. And they'll probably go away before long.
Right.
That's because it deviated my baseline.
Yes.
I go to my normal coffee shop. I walk in there and everyone is deathly silent.
Wow.
And there's somebody by the counter wearing perhaps a hoodie.
Yep.
Something's a little weird here. I'm aware. I'm looking around. I'm going to back out of that coffee shop real fast. I'll get to where I'm safer and I'll call for help. I'll at least alert law enforcement and say, I just went into the ABC coffee shop that I always go into. I think something weird's going on there. You may want to have a car roll by and take a look.
Right.
There may be a problem going down right now because you're aware. You're in the moment. And it deviates your baseline and you're going to get off the X and live a safer day. Mitigate risk by getting out of harm's way.
Yes. Great. Yes, absolutely. Get out of there. Don't confront.
Now, here's another one I've had some folks ask before. I especially have had, I've had some young ladies have been concerned about this one. They're like, I don't want to feel nervous all the time. How do I not feel nervous in this kind of an environment? Not a problem. A concept I'm going to use is called the possible versus the probable. I can't worry about everything. Example I've used in the past, a meteor could follow me right now.
Right.
It's possible. Sure.
Right. But
I'm living in a condo in Metro Miami, Florida. Right now, I could get crushed by a meteor. You know what? That'll be the end of this interview. You won't hear from me anymore. Right. I'm not going to prepare for that because it's possible, but I don't consider that a likely scenario.
Right. Right.
What I want to worry about is what is probable. Pick the top 3 or 4 things that are probable. I'm going to go to a concert downtown tonight. It is, because I don't have a real good sense of direction, it's probable I could get lost. Well, I'm going to mitigate the risk on that and really make sure I know where I'm going.
Right.
Not just relying on my GPS or my cell phone. Oh, the battery ran out because I relied on technology and I forgot to charge my phone. So I'm going to mitigate risk. But I'm going to say, all right, what happens if I get lost? What do I do? Planning and preparation ahead. What happens if I come out and have a flat tire? Is that a probability? It is if I drive over a bed of nails on the shoulder of the road.
Right.
So I try to look at some of the things that are probable And then I want to think through, what am I going to do in those circumstances? I'll call this, and you know, you're a psychologist, of course, so you'll appreciate this, writing to the hard drive in your brain.
Yes.
When you're in an adversarial duress type situation, your mind is going to go to that spot in your brain where you have trained or exercised some thought, done planning and preparation in advance, and put that into your head.
Yes.
If there's nothing there, the chances of you going into shock or freezing go up significantly.
Yes.
I've seen people freeze before.
Yes, exactly.
And the way you avoid that is by planning and preparation for what is possible and probable. That kind of goes into our next point, planning and preparation. You want to write something in advance while you're thinking calmly before you have adrenaline raging through your body and you're not thinking clearly. You want to say, well, if this happens, what would I do?
Yes.
The probable.
Exactly.
If I'm playing football and somebody, I'm the receiver, I'm going to catch the ball. If the quarterback gets the ball and he throws it to me, what am I going to do? I'm going to catch the ball and I'm going to run that way down the field, not the wrong way. And the big heavy guy who weighs 300 pounds is trying to flatten me. I'm going to run around him.
Yes.
So the plan may very quickly change. I'll quote Mike Tyson on that. Everyone has a plan till they get punched in the face. Great quote. Mike Tyson's right. But if you have a plan, you can deviate from the plan. If you have no plan, you're planning to fail.
Exactly.
I know I've thrown a lot of stuff at the audience. I'm going to say that one again.
Great information.
If you don't plan, you're planning to fail. You got to plan in advance. And all this stuff fits together.
Yes.
You got to plan in advance for the probable things you may face in a security situation. So you're going to be aware. You're going to be in the moment. You're going to put your phone away for now. You're going to pay attention and use your senses. You're going to have a baseline for places where you spend your time. That gets awful hard, as I talk about in volume 3, when you travel overseas. Separate conversation. You don't have a baseline when you go someplace new. You worry about possible versus probable threats. Focus on the probable, not the possible. Otherwise, you will be nervous.
Yes.
You will always be on edge. You'll be paranoid. We don't want that. No one wants to live like that.
No.
But then preparation and planning. Think about what's going to happen when adrenaline surges through your body if something comes up.
Right.
Your hands are going to shake.
Right.
Happens even when you're trained and you have a lot of knowledge.
Sure.
Your fine motor skills are going to be gone.
That's right.
And you just have to be aware of this. Your hands will be shaking, and that's not because you're weak or something's wrong. It's because you don't.
Right.
Your caveman, cavewoman responses, the adrenaline goes through your body. And so you have to understand that's going to happen. And you need to prepare in advance, knowing my hands are going to shake and I'm not going to make my best decisions. When somebody has extreme presence of mind, they may have an enhanced ability to make decisions when they have adrenaline surging through their body. I saw that both in the Central Intelligence Agency in challenging circumstances. People were highly trained. They were smart, and they were able to perform at a higher standard, but still degraded in those situations. Absolutely. Same in the Marines. Yep. They'll have you put a pack on, you go run 6 to 10 miles in gear, and then you have to do a whole bunch of map exercises on the other side, or things that demonstrate the ability to think under pressure. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how hard that is to do. Mom and pop America, average, regular, everyday folks who aren't training for that could be overwhelming.
Yes.
So be aware. You want to make your best decisions in advance. Adjust with your planning as you're going through things. The plan will change, but you have a direction you're going, and you can deviate from that. So that's
so true.
Planning and preparation really is the key. It takes discipline. But if you think through things in advance that can impact your world and where you go and where you live, work, worship, play, shop, you're going to be a lot better off. Just this brief conversation here, if people apply this stuff, they're going from being a soft target and they're increasing to being a harder target very quickly.
Oh, Beautifully said, Tim. Thank you so much for sharing. That was amazing information. And by the way, in case you just joined us, folks, I'm talking with Tim Beard, former CIA Directorate of Operations Infantry Officer and Captain on active duty in the U.S. Marine Corps, and master's level degrees, and Harvard graduate, amazing gentleman, and he has a 3-volume series. This is the first of the volume series we're talking about today. We'll be talking with him, hopefully in the future, about other things on his other 2 and 3 volumes. Look twice, and this is all about taking care of yourself, keeping you and your family safe in your environment, travel, all aspects of safety, which you can tune into. And what Tim was just talking about, managing your motor skills, managing your fight or flight responses, things like that. It's all here in the book. And there's such amazing safety tips that you can follow. And I've learned, I used to have Tim, a Taekwondo master. He was from Korea, and he used to yell at me when he was training, but his favorite sentence was, when you're walking around the streets, when you're doing your errands, Taekwondo spirit within you. That's what he used to yell at me. And I go, got it. And it's exactly what you're talking about, awareness and all of those tips of also managing your breathing, managing, knowing what happens to you in case of, you know, a situation, which is, of course, preparedness of probabilities that could happen.
Yep.
And you nailed it psychologically as well, Tim, because we're talking about imprinting possible scenarios, which you can get from the book, folks, and getting prepared, seeing yourself. Imagery is so powerful of how you can see yourself doing certain things and in the here and now to protect yourself, which is in the book here. But all, when it's here, when you've not ruminated on the what ifs that drive you crazy, like you, what if a meteor?
Don't spend too much time on that. Yeah.
No, let's look at the probable, the realities, and prepare here. So the mind doesn't know the difference between actually happening and you really getting detailed within your imagery of how you can protect yourself and reading the book and knowing that. So didn't mean to go so long-winded there, but thank
There's
you.
An example you touched on earlier, I want to mention without getting political as well, mention about people who are experiencing homelessness. I mean, there's a whole political mention of that, and there's a human dimension.
Yeah.
The thing I will offer is if you are walking down the street, regardless of the politics involved, regardless of the human drama involved in that and the challenges and whatever led the person to be experiencing that situation, if another human, a potential adversary is trying to engage with you and they're going to do something that's going to cause you harm. Again, what's the first thing you want to do? Run away fast. Because at the end of the day, the politics, the human drama, all the other things, if you're laying on your back and you have a laceration, none of that matters now. Now you have to stop the blood flow and you still have to get off the X, that ambush site, and move to a position of safety. Yeah. The best thing to do is to mitigate risk by avoid. Why do I say that 3 times? Because it's that important. Yes. Avoid. That's how you're going to win.
Yes.
That's how you're going to win is by avoiding stuff. When you see something brewing, a problem brewing, it's time to go right now.
Yep.
When you enter a new space, another one I want to mention is something I call the traffic light system.
Yes.
The traffic light system, red, yellow, green. When I walk into a place, say, for example, if you're going onto a subway platform, or even if you're walking into a room, you're at going into a big conference room in a ballroom in a hotel because you're at some big conference.
Yes.
When you first walk into any scenario like that, you don't want to be freaky when you're doing this and don't look all weird and paranoid.
Right.
Very casually. Glance across the room and sift everybody you see in a very coarse overview. Green, not a threat.
Yes.
Yellow, that piques my, I'm looking a little bit. Something draws my attention to that person. Right. Red, got a problem.
Yes.
If somebody is shoving somebody, getting violent, seems almost in the verge of a fight. Yeah. Maybe they're talking to themselves and they're not wearing earbuds.
Right.
You don't know what's going on there. You don't know where they came from, what drama they're bringing, but that's red. That's a concern to you, and you'll mitigate risk. Perhaps leave, certainly stay away. Yellow. Right. I don't know why that person, when I look over at them, the hair goes up on the back of my neck a little bit. I don't know why. It's in my subconscious right now. I'm not quite picking up what it is, but I'm just going to keep it. You know how you get that vibe when you meet somebody? Sometimes you're like, I'm going to keep an eye on that person. That's yellow.
It just doesn't feel right.
You have somebody who is not a physical threat to you. For example, the 80-year-old grandmother who's pushing her walker slowly across the room, probably not going to wrestle you to the ground and pull the you know MMA stuff on you. So that's just using that as a stark example. That's green. Do a quick sift of everybody in the room, just looking to see who's there.
Right.
And then you can go back through once you've moved through the doorway or moved onto the subway platform. Yep. Put your back to the wall on the subway platform. Don't stand near the tracks where you're going to get pushed in front of a train.
Oh, my goodness.
Put your back to a wall well away from the train. No one gets behind you. You only have to worry about 180 degrees left to right. And then at that point, do a finer, more detailed assessment of people. Same thing when you enter a subway car. When you walk in the car, quick scan. Again, not being freaky. Just a quick scan. People really shouldn't see you doing anything unusual. Position yourself, if you can, over on the side of the car. If it's rush hour, you can be wedged in with everybody else, and you're not going to be able to do that. You do things to the best of your ability.
Yes.
You have a choice. You have a choice to engage to the best of your ability, and that's what I'm encouraging the audience to do.
Yes.
That's a tool, that traffic light system, that, again, can help you feel more comfortable in a particular environment. You're on a subway platform and somebody's red and you see a fight about to break out, or there's multiple people, as you described earlier, who are all, I'll use the term, all ninja'd up, and you can't tell who they are. And they're
right.
Well, then you know what? Yeah. I think I'm taking an Uber today.
I'm out of here. Right.
Those are really important things that just regular everyday people can use every single day.
Yes.
I use that stuff when I was working before. These techniques work.
Yes, exactly. Beautifully said. Yeah.
Michelle, when I wrote the books, one of the things I tried to do is I tried to use the case study method, essentially. I have those scenarios that you alluded to where I say, hey, here's what happened. The reason I did that.
Yes.
I want people to be able to say, hey, that sounds just like me, or that could be me. Right. And you see what the person did. And then I say, this is what they did right, and this is what they did wrong.
Yes. Yes.
I make mistakes sometimes. Sometimes I may have a flawless performance, or I may have a performance where there's several things that I did wrong. But I try to get stronger every time. Every situation.
We learn, right?
We learn. And I learn from everybody. And if it doesn't work, I throw it away. And if it does work, I incorporate it in my toolkit. So that's the thing from the book. Read those scenarios. Yes. If the stuff works for you, use it. And if it doesn't, throw it away. But I guarantee you're going to learn some things that are going to be helpful.
Oh, you really are. As did I. And it's just a great book. Look Twice. Tim Beard. Here you go. It's a great book. There's a trilogy. So is Mike Speak. Nonfiction. And it's all about keeping yourself safe in different situations. And we'll talk in just a bit about the other two volumes, you know, briefly. Also, Tim, thank you so much. What great information you're providing. And I really appreciate you. You also talk about, besides the wonderful scenarios you present where we can go, whoa, that I know about that kind of thing, or that, you know, pertains to me. What are some of the ways that we can keep safer at home?
If, first, I'm going to say, you'll hear this throughout the books as well, and you'll hear me say this again and again. It's a big CIA thing. It depends. So what does that mean? Help me out here. It depends. Well, it depends on a lot of variables. First thing I'd say in answering that question, what kind of home do you live in? Mm-hmm. If you live in a single family home, there are certain things we'll talk about in just a second here. Single family home, town home, access to the outside. That's one thing. If you live in an apartment or a condominium, I like to term it a fortress in the sky. Yeah. It can be great. If you're above the second story, somebody, right. You heard me say this a minute ago, they got to be a ninja to kind of get up there. They got to be, you know, Spider-Man to make their way either down or up. When you're above third floor or above, it starts getting a lot harder. Yeah. So you have safety in that fortress in the sky. The challenge with a condo, what do you have? Usually one way to get in and out. So if there's a fire in the hallway, or there's somebody who's an adversary at your door, who's made it through the layers of security provided by the condominium or apartment management team. They're at your door. You're kind of stuck inside. That's the downside. Plus you give up a lot of privacy, but you do have people you can rely on, generally your neighbors who are around. You're not isolated and alone.
Right.
I'm going to go back and forth a little. If you have a single family home, you have a lot of attack surfaces. Those are places where an adversary can attack your home, vectors they can get in through. Those are called windows and doors. You've got multiple doors, which is great for egress, for getting out, especially if there's a fire or somebody who's an adversary is beating on your front door, you can often get out the back. That's good. But somebody, especially in the middle of the night, has multiple ways they might be able to get in, including the windows. Now, what can you do to mitigate that risk? One thing you can do is you can have an alarm system. We'll cover the ups and downs of that in a second. You can have a glass break where they, if glass is broken, it'll set off an alarm and send that to somebody who's monitoring your property. You can have really good locks on your doors. You can have robust doors, whether it's a reinforced door or a metal door or a reinforced door frame, but having good locks and using them. It's amazing to me how many people brag, oh, I live in an area, I don't even have to lock my doors.
Wow, I want to know what that area is.
some of the kind of more rural areas where the population density dwindles to single digits.
Yeah.
And you know everybody, maybe you don't have a lot of concerns with that. I choose to lock my doors.
Yes.
And I would encourage folks to do that.
Yes.
I would encourage folks also these days to employ technology. You don't want to over rely on it. That's a theme of book two a lot.
Right.
But having a Ring doorbell type camera that's going to go ahead and let you see who's there before you open your door, that may be recording imagery of who's on your porch.
Yes.
That's useful to have.
Absolutely.
Having a burglar alarm system that will let you know and let somebody else know when somebody breaks in, that can call for help.
Yes.
Whether through glass or through the doors. Lock the doors on the second, the windows on the second story.
Right.
A lot of people don't, or they don't put alarm system componentry on the second story windows.
Yes.
Second story windows are not hard to get to, especially if you left your ladder on the side of your house. You see people do that.
Yes.
Put it away, put it in your garage, put it in a storage area, sell it, borrow one if you need one. Don't keep it on the side of your house because you're away on vacation or it's the middle of the night and an adversary can use that ladder to get access to the second story, often easier to get in because of the reasons we just spoke about. And they'll work their way down through the house and they'll leave on the ground floor, but they'll enter via the second floor. Yes. So a lot of folks don't think they're like, oh, I'm good. My front door's locked. My back door's locked. My windows are shut. I'm good. So those are all things you need to be aware of.
Yes. Yes.
But when you're in a condo or an apartment, depending on the nature, here in Metro Miami, for example, a lot of the condos most have a security presence. So you're going to have to drive onto a property. You got to get through the yard arm and the guard at the gate. There are roving guards in the buildings. There are cameras all over the place because it's Miami. And that's that way in a lot of big cities. But if somebody can actually get to your door, then you have a whole nother problem that needs to be addressed with the management of the building. There are layers of security that provide protections that keep people from coming up and banging on your door without you having probably a couple different ways that you're going to be notified in advance.
Yes.
You have a visitor, so-and-so's here to see you. They took a copy of the license at the gate. Well, the person skipped by the gate. Okay, well, they're going by the concierge in the front.
Right.
Hopefully they're paying attention. Sometimes they're a little too much on their phone. That's another issue as well.
That's right.
There's roving people around. There are eyes on. There are cameras in the elevators.
Yes.
At least forensically, everything's being documented.
Sure.
So if there is a problem, they can go back and look and see.
Right.
That's the benefit of living in this kind of an environment.
Yes.
Is there are a lot of security protocols in place.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that I would recommend people leverage technology. They use the technology, even simple technology, old school, like lock your bolt lock on your door.
Yes.
And clean up your yard. Clean up, keep your garage door shut.
Yes.
I've lived in places where people are driving around the neighborhood. They see the garage open and they will do a mad dash up, look for anything of value, steal it. Run away, throw in the back of their truck and drive off.
Yes. Yes.
It's called it's a smash and grab robbery.
Right.
Keep your garage door shut.
Yes.
It's I mean, the simple things. It goes back to what I said in the beginning, Michelle. It's the fundamentals, doing the basics, the right stuff every single time and having discipline.
Oh, beautifully said. Thank you so much for that, Tim. Great information. Another point I wanted to touch on, which you have a lovely chapter on, several chapters, actually. You know, many of us work remotely. We're lucky these days. There are still a lot of folks out there who have to warm a seat, you know, in an office or some kind of a business situation. So you give some really great tips to help people with their safety at work. Can you share some of those ideas?
Sure. One thing that I want to do, if I work at an office building or a work site, whether say I work in a plumbing warehouse, wherever I work, what kind of business is it? Are we selling medical marijuana? That's going to be a very different profile than we make children's toys.
Sure.
I use that example in the book.
Yes.
So if you're making children's toys, it's a different profile, but it goes back to having a baseline. Are clients coming here, or is it a law firm where we have a magnetic lock that's over 1,000 pounds per square inch and nobody comes in the building, passes security guard at the front without an appointment, and then we have to buzz them into the office?
Yes.
And no one's coming in. And we know every single person who's coming in and our clientele is this.
Yes.
It's X. Okay, well, then you're not going to have some of the same concerns. If it is a retail establishment that has a constant flow of people in and out, it's you can't control and turn that off because that's your lifeblood. That's your business.
Yeah. Sure.
So it comes down first off, what's the nature of the business? Outsiders coming in all the time, or people we know, or nobody comes in. We are, you know, people who are processing data for a company that's headquartered three states away, and there's only 20 of us, and we all know each other.
Right.
And it has a solid door and they can't even see inside.
Yeah. Yeah.
The thing I want to do, and this is the same thing that they teach by DHS, is a concept called run, hide, fight.
Mm-hmm.
Run, hide, fight. If there is something that is a workforce, a violent altercation or something happens at work, first thing you want to do is run away. And you want to think in advance before anything ever happens at your work site. Where am I going to run to? This also depends on the time of day. If you start working at 7:30 in the morning and you're off at, say, 4, well, then that's a lot different than somebody who starts at noon and works till, say, 10 at night. Because the coffee shop down the street is going to be closed at 10 at night, most likely. So if you thought you were going to run there to ask for help, it's going to be locked up. You need to know what's open when you're at work.
Right.
If you have the ability to run, you want to get out of your workplace and run well away to where you're behind what we call concealment.
Okay.
Sorry, cover. Concealment protects you just from observation.
Yes.
You want to be behind cover, which protects you from the effects of firearms.
Right.
So if somebody's shooting, cover would be a big, thick piece of concrete. Being behind a building.
Right.
Being well down the way. Concealment, which I started to say earlier, is hiding behind some bushes.
Right.
Yeah, you're concealed from, they can't see you. They can sure shoot through the bushes. That's concealment.
That's
you want to be behind cover. So if it was me and I'm in a workplace and something happens, I want to have already planned, if I can get away, where am I going to go?
Yes.
And then from there, I'm going to call for help. Think back to the airplane where the oxygen mask falls.
Yes.
I put mine on first before I try to help somebody else.
Right.
same thing here. I got to save myself and then call for help and stay on the line with the dispatcher and follow their instructions and not terminate the call until they tell me what to do. Mm-hmm. Just stay on line. That's the first thing. The second piece, if you can't get away, hide. Like your life depends on it, because it does.
Yes, it does.
It goes back to what we were talking before, the frog brain, when you have adrenaline running through your body and you can't think clearly, mm-hmm. you're going to pick the dumbest hiding spots ever. Right. So what you want to do is pick three or four really good hiding spots that you have the potential to get to in your workplace, the best ones you can find, and you know where you're going to go if you have to hide. Again, you want to run, but if you can't, that's the next step.
Yes.
The third one, if you get cornered, you can't hide, couldn't run away, you're staring an adversary in the eye, you're going to have to fight. Some people aren't predisposed to that, but you're going to have to fight like your life depends on it, because it does.
Yes.
Yes. So those are run, hide, fight. That's something to think about when you're at work.
Absolutely.
And think also about, and I talk in the books about doing a little mini security assessment of your workplace.
That's great.
Take a look around and see, are there cameras there? Do you have security guards?
Right.
Are they playing on their phones or are they paying attention?
Well, that's right.
People wandering in and out. There's a lot of detail on there. I really go into depth on what to do.
Yes.
So people can cover some of that and have confidence that they're going to be safe in their workplace. Yes.
Beautifully said. And with you, Tim, and your active duty that you served in the military, a lot of people who've done that, and also your work in the CIA, you've learned defense, offense, you know, techniques. However, the average person, they're shocked when they're in a situation where they're feeling out of control. Would you suggest that people get some sort of personal training or defense training? Taekwondo, karate, boxing, whatever that might be.
I was a fighter when I was younger. I'm a fan of martial arts and boxing.
Yes.
The challenge you have on that, first off, we're built different ways. Again, I'm a little over 200 pounds at 6'5".
Right.
So I'm not the smallest guy in the world.
No, which is great.
It's useful for a lot of things.
Sure.
But the thing I would offer, it depends. It depends again. If I'm talking to somebody who's a 5'1", 108-pound female.
Right.
And she's going up against somebody who is
the
size of a Hulk Hogan, who is intent on causing her harm.
Yes.
There's only a few ways she's going to be able to close that gap. And a lot of folks may not like that, but firearms are the way that it's equalized. That's not for everybody.
Nope.
But folks, again, I'm talking the truth on this one here. If you're a 5'1" female and you're going up against a 6'7", 300-pound man who wants to cause you harm, there's limited stuff you can do. And a firearm is a great equalizer with appropriate training.
Correct.
Can't have firearms everywhere, though. You cannot bring them certain places. You always need to follow the local rules and regulations and laws. I'm a strong proponent of adhering to that. But there are things you can do as well besides that. For example, I call them weapons at hand. A really hot cup of coffee, if you feel where you're in a situation that is a potentially lethal situation where you're going to be very, very much harmed physically or possibly killed, you take the cap off the cup of coffee. If you toss the coffee, that will give you a few seconds. It will toss at somebody's face. I don't encourage that by any means unless it's a lethal force situation.
Right.
You got to make your own choices. But if you were to do something like that, it's going to buy you a few seconds. You can go home and have dinner with your loved ones that night. You might be able to run away.
Right.
You don't want to engage. You want to get away.
Yes.
And that's one technique you can use for something like that. Cover a few others in the books. But just understand, physical size does matter when you're engaged in a fight. Martial arts and boxing and fighting, especially if it's a one-on-one, it will move you up the food chain of fighting.
Yes.
But at the same time, if you're going up against a professional fighter or four or five guys who are 230 pounds, you still have the deck stacked against you greatly.
Exactly. You've got to be very safe. And Tim, I don't mean to interrupt you, but unfortunately, time has whizzed by as always. So we're running into a bit of a hard break coming up. We have some news.
Sure.
But gosh, I want to ask you, what is the best way that folks can get your books, the 3-volume series? Here it is, Look Twice, and find out more about you and your work.
Please go to timbeardauthor.com. Again, that's Tim Beard, B-E-A-R-D, author.com. Yes. That's my author website. You see my picture on there. You'll read some background about me. There's also a link on there to my Amazon Author Central page, and the books are available in ebook, audiobook, and paperback, all three. They're also at Barnes & Noble and some other locations. So wherever you choose to buy them, I hope these books help you and others who are listening to lead safer lives. Stay safe and always look twice.
Beautifully said, Tim. Thank you so much for being such a great guest.
Thanks
Tim
for having
Beard,
me on.
Of course, former CIA operator and also military officer. Thank you. Really appreciate your help. The books are wonderful. They'll help you a lot. Very user-friendly to read. And who knows, they may save your life. All right. Thank you so much again, Tim, for being here with us.
Thanks, Michelle.
All right. Everybody, I thank you as well. And as I always say, do take care of yourself first. Make sure you're safe. And then you'll be great for others who you love and just people around you to take care of. Talk to you next week on the couch. Bye-bye.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.